What demarcates the line between disagreement and divisiveness? Is it now when we're seeing contest and litigation over every inch of how voting is performed, ballots are handled, outcomes are measured, insistence from all corners and the highest levels that there is corruption and there is interference afoot that is undermining democracy, as we see now, or perhaps as we saw in 2016, the insistence after Trump initially won that it was in some ways an illegitimate victory, an unwanted victory, that he was not a legitimate president, and that the fight must continue, as was said at the time. Or perhaps even further back, we can look at second Bush with the 11th hour contestation of vote counts, and there are still people irked about that. It was certainly hotly contested, but was it divisive? As far as we know, there was no interference then. There was certainly interference, it turned out, to some degree or another in the 2016 election. It's being claimed by both sides now that there is interference in the 2020 election, both from internal groups and by external actors, other countries, and so on. Is the legitimacy of such claims what indicates the level of divisiveness? Or is it simply that we make these claims? If it turns out that thousands of ballots did show up filled out by people who were dead, and it changes, let's just say, the outcome of the election, will it reflect any differently the level of mistrust than if it turned out that that was fake and never happened? It certainly shifts to some extent the finger of blame, but where the claims originate for such things, whether it be that, or whether it be the sudden onset of 100,000 odd ballots in Michigan, or how the counts are conducted in Pennsylvania, or what have you. We find blame because there is a divisiveness. The absolute certainty of each, I'll say, side leading up to the conclusion of the election goes far towards indicating how very much stuck in our own world we get. Perhaps it is a sort of comforting measure as well to be absolutely certain of ourselves that our candidate of choice is going to win. I suppose that does not count if you were one of the tens of thousands who voted for Kanye. In some sense, this election, this 2020 election, is only a continuation of the 2016 election. While much has changed since then, and the tenor of the election is very much different than the 2016 election, the challenges that the country faces, not pragmatically, but perhaps philosophically, are being continued. There was almost a pause in them, you might say. The anger that showed up when Trump was elected and took office is showing itself now in greater form when we see demands both to stop the count and to recount and to change how we count coming from both sides for different reasons, and a vehemence and assurance that if things are done properly, such a side will win, whichever the side, and that only fraud would cause the other side to win. This is different in practice, but comparable in character to the declaration that the victory of a certain candidate, in this particular case Trump in 2016, is illegitimate as a concept. If Hillary had won, it might have been a slightly different story, only because she represented a continuation of more or less the status quo, though her policies would have been different from Obama's, but they represented more or less business as usual as far as typical politicking goes, whereas Trump was a clean break from that, a sharp turn in another direction. How far can you stress an object by twisting it one way and another before it breaks? Now, I'm not trying to suggest whether or not the United States is at some breaking point. I think the factors that play into something like that are much more complex, although a surprising number of people seem to predict that we're at the inception of some sort of civil strife. I won't say civil war. It's surprising not because we're so necessarily not so, but rather because most people want to believe something more comfortable. That is, for instance, one side is acting up, it'll be a group that's silenced. Once power is gained, things will calm down, what have you. The fact that we are so ready to accept civil disorder, disarray, in large scale, not just riots here and there, but actual potential war of some kind or another, that we level accusations of massive fraud or misuse of the voting process, subterfuge. It shows just how uncomfortable we are with each other. Even when much of the change comes from without, such as the Russian interference in the 2016 election, while we blame the actors who caused some of that influence, the real action still sits with the voters, and therefore the blame, in the end, is much closer at hand. We can look at each other in this country and say, you are the problem. No matter how we were influenced, no matter how our choice was changed or altered, we as individuals choose to vote or not vote, whom we vote for, and how we cause those around us to vote as well. And so the divisiveness becomes much more internal than external, even when there are external factors at play. Whether there are external factors at play now, and if so, how much, is yet to be decided, of course. But it almost is irrelevant, because an election is a uniquely internal affair, even when it is influenced by external affairs. In the end, someone is going to be declared president, and that someone will have a lot of power to exert control over the United States, the directions it takes, and so forth. And in talking with my own friends and neighbors and associates, I'm consistently struck by how certain they are of possibly a certain outcome, but if not an outcome, then a situation. Everybody will be mad about this. It will take such and such amount of time to determine that. Problems will be coming from this quarter. We are all apparently political pundits. And I appreciate and respect the attempt of each individual to educate themselves on these issues. They are important issues, and the more roundly educated you are, the more you can make informed choices, which tend to be good choices. And you can also have informed discussions with others, which, again, lead to an informed and thoughtful populace. That's only a good thing. But when a little bit of research leads to a high amount of certainty, I think we enter into dangerous territory. And that's especially so when the conclusions we reach are conclusions of hostility, of finger-pointing. We know what we want, we know what we think is good and what we think is bad, and all the things we stand for are those things which the people on the other side of the aisle, but who might be your neighbor, are against. And yet everyone seems to think it's not their neighbor, right? We talk very distantly about those people. They vote that way. They say this. They want that. They want to support this, and they want to abolish that. And how dare they, and how could they, and what do they think? How could they possibly reach such a conclusion? This is very dangerous thinking. Politics, and for that matter, all the things that underlie it that exist in our society, the administrative elements, the legal elements, the practical elements like running the country, these are extremely complicated and extremely difficult for any one individual to comprehensively understand, even just one part of it. There are people who make one small section of the administrative state or how policy is conducted their entire life's career and still aren't always cognizant of where things stand, which is how you get political pundits, actual political pundits, being so far off in their predictions or their estimations. It's hard to know things for sure. It is a complicated and dynamic and quickly changing environment. The last thing we should be is certain. The first thing we should be is inquisitive. I'm not saying you should change your own point of view on something. If you believe a certain policy is good or bad, you believe a certain outcome is good or bad, those rest on moral convictions. That's a little bit different. But jumping from those convictions to claims of ineptitude or evil, for that matter, on the part of fellow countrymen is an unreasonable step to take. Let's face it, you just do not understand every human being under the sun. You do not even understand most of them. Nobody does. Most of us have a relatively complex story to tell. And while you can certainly take those in summation for generalizing trends and topics, whether that be healthcare or the economy or First Amendment rights or Second Amendment rights or whatever, and you can say such and such people tend to think this way about this topic, but that doesn't really reflect what's going on in an individual's mind. And there are many small subcultures and different areas and different ways of thinking in this country. And they all are changing and they all intermesh. And to generalize them all, or a large percentage of them, into any kind of bucket and claim that you understand what's going on there with any degree of accuracy, well, you can make a guess at it, but that's about the best you can do. And again, we can distinguish this from a certain belief in what is right or wrong or should be done. You can simultaneously say, I'm sure that most people have good intentions, and yet say that their good intentions would be a bad outcome from your point of view. And this is also not to negate the probability that there are some legitimately bad people out there. Of course there are. And probably many others who are indifferent. But as I think we learned in this election so far by the huge amount of people voting, many people do care. Sure, there's some social pressure to vote now more than ever, but a bit of social pressure doesn't make millions upon millions upon millions of people come out to vote who wouldn't have voted otherwise. Especially to stand in long lines or deal with complicated absentee ballots. People are incentivized to vote, but at the same time they're also somewhat disincentivized to vote. And the fact that so many people came to vote indicates, en masse, that people have a vested interest in the outcome. And therefore, while there are always exceptions, sometimes many exceptions in the raw numbers, it would be very wrong to say that any group of Americans broadly, wishes ill on the country or is trying to do something bad. They are trying to do something good. We may just view it as a bad thing. Now, you might also say, but certain things are objectively bad. Well, sure, death is bad, but even that is a controversial topic, from everything to how we handle healthcare, to whether we execute serial murderers, to whether abortion is saving people or hurting people or killing people. Talking about a life is not such a simple thing, as evidenced by the fact that we have ongoing and heated arguments around numerous topics in that area. And that is one of the most black and white areas, in some ways. Most people would agree in a general way that ending a human life is a bad thing. But all of us, when we cast it in a different light, tend to find exceptions. So the idea of an objective bad in this case is very difficult to ascertain. Is there a morally absolute correct or incorrect? If you believe in certain religions or certain philosophies, you could certainly say so. But again, that differs so much from individual to individual, from group to group. So when you start looking at outcomes, it almost has to be a personal approach. I firmly believe that X is good and Y is bad, and I am here to vote in a way that I think will sustain that point of view. And you are fighting with your pen against someone who thinks it's the other way around, perhaps. So when you get down to it, the real notion of division here is one of a significant divide in human perspective. We have reached a situation in which people view the world in hugely different ways and feel so strongly about it. And we have in this one country such hugely divergent viewpoints on major issues of the day, on topics that apply very practically to our daily lives. That is the divisiveness, that is the division. It comes out in the form of accusations of fraud, in demands for recount, in the denial of a public office being legitimate, of accusing others of bad intentions, of accusing others of misinformation, of all sorts of things. But all of those are simply artifacts of a very long and deep-seated dissonance of viewpoints. And I wouldn't be the first to say we have to find a way to cross that communication barrier between those disparate viewpoints if we're ever to have a hope of a stable political environment. Find the human perspective, find the human, and you'll find just a little bit more stability and a little bit more peace.